How did you get started as an English language teacher?
I'm disabled, and so that sort of meant that when I got out of college, it was sort of difficult to get attached to the labor market in a traditional way. But I began tutoring in person and online. I just was very active on different online forums, and I heard about someone, I read the posts of someone who talked about how she had started as an online ESL teacher. So I thought, hey, I can try that and see if that works. So I started poking around on YouTube and discovered ads for Italki, and I started with them.
That's fascinating. You have a different perspective than most. And so I really appreciate you sharing your story, Irene. Is it necessary to have a side hustle or an additional source of income while teaching the English language as a profession?
When I think of teaching ESL as a profession, that means to me that it's your main thing. Because for me, I love teaching English. I mean, I enjoy what I do and the particular things that I do. I love my students. I'm dedicated to doing a good job in this role. However, for me, it is a job, you can put it that way. There are passions that I have that I'm doing this work in order to enable me to do those passions. So I want to make this work as my main gig, as my main job, to the extent that I can. And that's what I've been trying to do, especially lately.
Okay, yeah, that's really wonderful to hear. And could you share with me what type of fun passions are you involved in? It's really cool to know that there's other things that English language teachers are involved in. And so would you share with us?
Writing and literature, and then specifically for me, the genre of historical fiction. I'm currently a reviewer of historical fiction novels for an organization called the Historical Novel Society. They put together conferences on this genre of literature. They publish a magazine of reviews and articles about historical fiction literature, and I'm one of their volunteer reviewers right now.
Wow, that is amazing. I love history. My bachelor's was in African American history, and so just like learning about that really opens my mind. How's the process with that?
It's fiction, so it's novels,
Yes.
the Historical Novel Society. That can be, though, maybe different subgenres within historical fiction and different time periods. Being able to review, though, for a magazine, for an online website.
What would be like your most favorite genre you would want to read, review?
This is great that this is becoming more common. Stories about women, stories where women are the protagonists, at these different times in history, these different points in history. So thinking of women as heroines, getting their point of view, that's great.
Definitely really needed, especially in our culture. Thank you so much for your reflections on that. It's commonly thought that one can teach English remotely online from anywhere in the world, thus allowing for a nomadic lifestyle. Has that, in your experience?
That is my goal, to be able also to teach online as a digital nomad. I'm not there at that point in terms of being able to do it, in terms of being able to have the full-time income and schedule to do it yet. So that is like my goal, especially for this year at this point. But that is something I'd like to be able to do. And I've been able to do trips where I've still been able to work online. In all of the aspects of doing a trip, I did a trip this past year to Puerto Rico. Teaching online was the most hassle-free, intuitive, effortless aspect of the whole trip.
Puerto Rico must be a beautiful place to view
Absolutely.
while you're on your computer. What is a favorite lesson in your classes that you like to teach?
So I primarily do conversation practice at this point. But I enjoy, and I think it's very effective to have adult students talk about or otherwise engage in a lesson on the topic of their country. Most students, let's at least say that, pretty huge majority of students find that topic engaging. They like talking with a foreigner about their country. It gets them talking, it gets them expressing opinions and also giving facts. It gets them telling stories and making comparisons. So all of those vital language skills and needs can be done through this topic. It works really well.
Most of my students at one time time we would have conversations. I really love how that topic, just about things that they know, which is they're familiar with, encouraging them to speak a little bit more. What is some advice you could give someone who is aspiring to be an English language teacher?
So in terms of what goes on in lessons or who you teach, we could have a whole other discussion about the business side of things or making a living at it. You should think about who you want to teach, what student population. I decided very early that I teach adults. I know how to teach adults. I don't know how to teach children. I have tried once, twice, like a handful of times, to teach children under the age of 14 is not gone well, but I teach adults very well. So just knowing yourself and knowing what you can sort of specialize in is my advice.
Knowing yourself and, like you said, knowing which teach is very useful. Do you have a preference in teaching adults or children in your class?
I really have a very strong preference. From my perspective, it's a requirement to teach adults for me. That's about my personality. That's about my skills. I feel that I'm best suited to be a productive teacher adding value for adults.
You have to wear a lot of more hats with kids. And like adults, they already have like a focus. They want to have this goal in mind. I completely understand. Do you have an English language course or service or business that you're currently operating?
I was fully independent for a couple of months at the start of 2022. It didn't work out. So I decided, in terms of what my own goals are, that I'm a platform teacher. I know that basic system, you know, that sort of marketplace platform system. If it's possible to make it work, it works for me. So I've gone back to platforms, but I've now found one that is a better model. At this point, I would say I'm no longer an independent teacher. I'm now connected with this organization called My Cool Class.
You had your stint in there in business and did the best you can, and you were providing like the best service to your students. So I really commend you for that, Irene. Do you have any teaching philosophies that you follow in your classes?
I would say that the communicative approach, you know, what I do is one-on-one with adults. The communicative approach would be the overall philosophy. There's a great YouTube video that I like, which is like a TED Talk of someone saying learners should be learning a language and beginning to use it like they're playing a video game. Oh. Right? It shouldn't be focused on exams. It shouldn't be focused on here's the textbook, you need to get through the textbook. It's like you're here in front of a native, in my case, a native speaker, but with any teacher who's just going to insist on using the language and using the language only, the target language.
Want a free gift? Why don't you visit www.teachingonlineenglish.com? To get exclusive content, our latest episodes, and even more great resources for you there. So I'll let you get back to our fun conversation.
Have communication with each other. Let's maybe do some particular activities in a more structured lesson, but you need to be achieving actual communication goals in order to be using the language. You need to be getting input that you understand. So comprehensible input, would say that's, you know, a huge part of my philosophy. So comprehensive input, but they need to be actually communicating and using. It's to be in that practical sense of, okay, do you exactly have the communicative skills, the discourse skills to go through the interaction? Okay, no. Well, let's scaffold that a little bit. Maybe in the middle of it or after the fact sometimes, but let's scaffold that, but then actually have you engaging with the language. I would say overall, that's my philosophy.
I really love that, how, you know, you have to see English as a game more or less, because you'll have a lot more fun and you have those executed goals to target. What cultural norms did you encounter while teaching your students in your classes?
One of the reasons that I was not as successful as I probably could have been with being fully independent, being a quote-unquote entrepreneur or business owner, was I chose a student population to say, okay, that's going to be my customer base. Thinking about what I could offer them as a teacher, thinking about how they are as students and could we be a productive match for each other in that relationship, in the classroom relationship, and not thinking about if you're running a business, are they and do they think you're a credible seller of the product? And so I chose Russian speakers, you know, native speakers of Russian learning English, adults, of course. And it turns out I didn't know enough about not just Russian culture generally, but specifically Russian attitudes towards language learning and education generally. And they continue working with Russian native speaking teachers pretty far into their language learning journey, we could say. Not just about absolute beginners who don't speak a word of English, although, you know, like they talk about taking them from zero or taking them from nothing. That I understand. That's why I don't work with beginners from any language background, but intermediate level students where we would expect as part of their development that they're starting to actually receive instruction in English, there were still some people resistant to have a monolingual English speaking teacher, put it that way. Some of these cultural ideas as well. At least that's what I was sort of told about how to learn and how to continue learning. And so that was a roadblock.
So sorry you ran into that hurdle. And that's really interesting that you found that insight about that. Have you faced challenges while teaching, and what did you learn from any of them?
I would definitely say that that was a huge challenge. Just these attitudes towards language learning. They can be a challenge in working with students. And from different language, maybe it's different cultural backgrounds, because you'll find students stereotypically, maybe I'm working with, you know, a lot of East Asian students now, and they have a range of attitudes about goals with English and things. But anytime a student is very exam focused, I'm supportive, but I just feel like the communicative approach and the exam focused approach, they can be in conflict to a degree sometimes. That can be sort of difficult. Again, goals with learning, methods of learning, that can be difficult to deal with. Other than the business aspect and how I can, you know, make it a full-time living, everything else is manageable. There are students you don't connect with necessarily, or really, you can teach a range of students and you don't all have to be your best friend by any stretch of the imagination. I've had students that were just difficult, unfortunately, to work with. I don't want to badmouth anybody, obviously not going to mention names, but that's the nature of the thing. So I wouldn't even call it a challenge, but just to mention that that's a thing that happens, you know. That's part of just work.
Conflict is definitely okay. Nature of teaching and work overall. Thank you so much for sharing challenges. And what is one common myth about being an English language teacher that you have encountered?
I have encountered students who just haven't known what the communicative approach is, whether a productive, I would say, match for each other. Some students have wanted something else or have not understood the approach.
Some students, they are more exam focused, like you said, and not really understanding the communicative approach. What are some warm-ups or introductions you conduct in your classes?
Because I do mostly conversation practice. The biggest one is just going through small talk with students, because that's really maybe a North American or US sort of cultural thing. They need to be taught, okay, this is small talk. When I ask you, how are you at the start of class, there's a certain sort of response. You can give me more information and maybe we could have a little chat sort of that isn't related to the topic or the plan of the lesson, but then that's what that is and that is how to do it. That's the warm-up.
The warm-ups are really good to just create that atmosphere, the tone of the class. Is it better for you to teach privately or to teach at like a classroom among like a large group of students?
You can see how specialized I am. I've never taught group classes. I've always been one-on-one with adults.
Because I have done both like one-on-one and group. You would have like a very interesting interaction and experience.
I had a learning curve when I started on Italki, when I started just doing it overall. But you learn because you have to learn. It would be an interesting challenge, I think, you know, to start doing group classes. The co-op that I'm a part of now has a couple of different, you know, sort of business models or models of giving courses, and group classes is one of them. So I may consider creating a group class and trying it it just would be a very different experience from what I've been used to.
Should take a try one of these days to see how it is. You might like it. And if not, you always can go back to your one-on-ones. So that's really awesome. You have that openness for it. Do you have any fun goals that you're working towards in 2023 you'd like to share with the audience?
Full-time income, and therefore unlocks other things. That's the ability to become a digital nomad. That's the ability to have the time and the space for my writing projects. That's everything.
Yes, having that livable income. But being a teacher, you're in it for the heart. You'll definitely get like a lot of love and a lot of support. But for the money, it's a bit not as high scale and does not pay the bills the way. I definitely understand. And hopefully you definitely achieve that, Irene.
I'm not in it entirely for the money. It is a very pleasant way to try to make a living. Doing it because I believe I provide value, and I've gotten feedback that I provide value, and I've seen results with students, and we can be productive to get student-teacher relationships. But there is that business aspect of it as well.
For sure. Maybe you can start like a blog on your fictional historical review novels. Mm-hmm. I think people would really be interested in what you have to say on that. You know, they have like a lot of booktubers. You can even do like a booktube.
That's true.
That could be something along the line. Where can people find you if they want to connect with you to take private lessons or learn more about your review site?
They can find me for private lessons on My Cool Class. So you can go to mycoolclass.com, sign up to be a student, and you can find my teacher profile.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Irene, so much for joining us on the podcast. It was a pleasure to have you in your spirit and just sharing your awesome journey.
You're very, very welcome. Nice to meet you.
That was an amazing episode with Teaching Online English Podcast. Do one act of kindness today and subscribe to the podcast, and don't forget to share it. We are super appreciative of your support, and please visit www.teachingonlineenglish.com for exclusive content, resources on getting an English language job, and reading up on some helpful articles. Thank you so much again for your support.